Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. The American Tort Reform Foundation's Judicial Hellholes report was released this morning, where it highlights the worst lawsuit abuse of the year across the nation, homing in on 8 hot spots. We visited with them last year. They're back again this year. We're joined by Tiger Joyce, president of the American Tort Reform Association. Tiger, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Joel. Thanks for having me on.
So the report was released this morning. If you would, for the benefit of our listening audience, articulate what is a judicial hellhole?
Well, it's a jurisdiction. Could be an entire state, as is the case with Louisiana, or might be a particular city, like number one judicial hellhole is Los Angeles, California, where we believe that the civil justice system just doesn't work properly, or that the problems and the excesses are such that we believe that for a lot of defendants, that equal justice under law, which is etched in the facade of the Supreme Court of the United States, we believe is not served or not adequately served. And we hope that the report, by highlighting issues and challenges and problems, can serve as a catalyst for reform, as it has done in both Florida and Georgia in recent years.
Now, Louisiana engaged in some aspects over the past several years with tort reform. Your thoughts about what they were able to achieve or not achieve?
Yeah, I think there have been some improvements, and I think we acknowledge that in the report. And, you know, quite frankly, we like to highlight improvements. I think that if you read our segment on the watch segment, which is where we have Louisiana now as a state in one capacity, it recognizes that fact. And that's important. Our understanding from talking to allies around the state is that I think more needs to be done, and I think there will be efforts to do more. I think another question, though, more broadly, when we're looking at sort of some of the staged accident issues and the costs and burdens of commercial and individual, consumer transportation, is that more needs to be done. But it's also a question of, how will the courts improve or implement, I should say, the changes that were enacted. And that's going to be something that we're going to watch carefully. So that's an important part of the report. We like to acknowledge when there are improvements, and we just hope that there will be more.
Tiger, in your review, I mean, there's multiple parties that are involved in any tort action, right? And one to include whether it's insurance companies, health insurance companies, or whatever. Are you reviewing the practices of all the players that are involved in the transaction?
Well, we try to. I think we have highlighted sometimes, and we've seen examples around the country of abuses where various health providers can collaborate closely with personal injury lawyers. And the question really becomes, what procedures are necessary and what's the actual cost incurred? I mentioned both Georgia and Florida. One of the centerpiece elements of both of their reforms was to ensure, that rather than a so-called billed amount, which oftentimes from a healthcare provider can be quite significant, but especially for those who have health insurance, what is the actual amount paid, to handle a particular matter? It might be whether it's a hospital or other medical provider organization, the billed amount for the person walking in and off the street might be quite high, but that, an individual's health insurance might resolve the cost of care and treatment for a significantly lower amount. And from our perspective, I think most people would agree, that the amount that's actually paid should be the amount that's involved. So that's something that we do focus on. That's an important priority. It's not to suggest that there can't or shouldn't be treatment, but that really what is the underlying cost. And there have been a lot of studies over the years about what we would refer to as defensive medicine. And sometimes, providers will take steps to ensure that, that they're guarding against the potential for litigation. And we've seen in some of the worst case scenarios, we highlight these in the report, where there are procedures and matters that are done simply to run up the costs. So insurers have to try to police that. And then, of course, insurers have to pay claims.
Yep. We visited with you guys last year. I know there were a number of observations about Louisiana. So this year, where did we rank and what does it look like?
Sure. Well, we actually did sort of put Louisiana in two categories. I mentioned in terms of the matters we've been highlighting previously, a number of them we put on the watch list, which is similar to what we've done for example, Georgia, which enacted significant reforms this year. What's different, however, say in comparison to Georgia, is that we've been highlighting the so-called coastal litigation over the years, and that's sufficiently problematic in and of itself that led to our placing Louisiana also at judicial hellhole number four. So it's sort of dual status, which is a bit unusual in our report. But given the very, very large award, and I guess it was Plaquemines County, Parish's award against the number of energy companies, we have sufficient concern about the underlying matters in these cases. We ATRA, my employer, we have filed an amicus brief to the Supreme Court of the United States, supporting the view that these cases don't belong in state courts. They can trace back to developments, going back to World War II, in coordination with the federal government. We think that there's a retroactivity aspect to these lawsuits that are highly problematic. And from the standpoint of your listeners and all your consumers in Louisiana, this is an industry that's vital to your state's economy, and so these lawsuits seeking to establish liability, I think it was former U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr in a letter that he sent to Louisiana Attorney General Liz Murrow, highlighting the problems with this. It's, as he referred to it, as potentially ruinous retroactive liability, for an industry that's vital to your economy. And, it raises questions about, where the cases should be brought. And I think we could point to, President Trump's executive order, where his administration's priority and focus on preserving and protecting the development, energy development in the country, is to guard against, as he suggests, as his order suggests, inappropriate overreach by the states to limit energy production. He probably might have had some other states in mind when he did that, but nevertheless, I think it's relevant to the analysis here. And we're very concerned about these cases and the precedent that it sets, but most importantly, the impact that it could potentially have on the state and the economy in Louisiana.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Deanna.
As you outline this case just now, do you tend to see the nature of this type of case more in the environmental spectrum as opposed to any other legally?
Well, we do see it in that area. We're seeing it, litigation suggesting, for example, that energy companies are the cause of climate change. And that they should be required to pay for that. You know, our view is that if the federal government were to determine that there should be some sort of a tax placed on energy producers, you know, that's not a policy issue that we would address. I'm not sure I would necessarily agree with that, but nevertheless, that would be a more appropriate way to try to address this. But we're seeing any number of issues, whether it's suggestions that plastics are not being recycled, climate change, as I said, climate change cases, and a number of cases, you know, analogous to the theories that are at issue in the cases. In Louisiana, the parish cases, I think, are highly problematic. And at the end of the day, our view is that litigation should exist to resolve problems and disputes. It shouldn't be our way of handling broad-based public policy issues. That's for elected officials and people who are accountable to all of us, whether as appointed officials or elected officials.
So you guys spend a lot of time as well quantifying the impact of what you describe as judicial hellholes. Tell us about that, and in particular, the impact to the greater New Orleans area.
Yeah, that's right. We highlight a report that's prepared by an expert firm that evaluates the impact of lawsuit abuse. And I think it raises an important question. First and foremost, it's that, you know, that these are not academic or you know, lawyerly issues, that the excesses and the burdens of lawsuit abuse and problems in the civil justice system do affect consumers. The study that we would cite to is particularly powerful with regard to New Orleans. And for a easiest way to put it is for a family of four, the cost, the so-called tort tax, is in excess of $8,000. You know, with the discussion about going on around the country on a bipartisan basis about affordability, those are real costs. It may not be immediately apparent and discernible, but they underlie the costs and burdens that we face. Because at the end of the day, the excesses are businesses, and if they can continue in business, will pass on costs and burdens to consumers who ultimately pay them. And that's why this is important. And I think that it's important for your listeners and others to recognize that this is not just a legal or litigation policy matter. It is it's a matter that ultimately affects consumers. And the judicial hellhole jurisdictions sometimes more significantly than others. I was just speaking to some folks in Los Angeles, and it's almost double that amount in Los Angeles what it is in New Orleans. So that shouldn't be great comfort to the people in New Orleans, but it demonstrates that where the problem is most pronounced, the burden is most discernible, is more profound.
And I guess the most immediate way that it tends to reveal itself is relative to insurance premiums, right?
Well, I think there can be that, yeah. And I think that what we've seen, for example, in Florida right now is some of the reforms that were enacted there a few years ago were so significant and I think so targeted to some of the worst abuses that as a result, insurers have been able to lower premiums. But more importantly, it's clarified the market. It's allowed the insurance market to firm up so that you could have reinsurance available as insurers need, as the initial carriers always want to have. It clarifies responsibilities, and it's really made a difference. There are some reforms. The only reason I mention is because sometimes there can be some reforms which are helpful but may not have that direct impact on insurance rates. But we have seen examples, and I think even early examples in Georgia, where I think some carriers have indicated that the enactment of reform is such that they're going to be able to lower rates. One of the challenges in this area, though, is that a lot of times these efforts, whether it's in the legislature or in the courts, get challenged or there might be cases seeking to have them overturned for constitutional reasons. And, for it truly to be effective, it's going to take, it often sometimes takes time to work through the system and may have to survive some judicial challenges as well.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point too, right, Tiger? I mean, we always look for the immediacy of something. We want, immediate gratification and impact. But the reality is that a lot of the policies and practices that make up a judicial hellhole has a tail to it, and it takes a while for cases that already exist to work their way through the system, and those continue to have an impact as y'all quantify these numbers, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. And, a good example of what you just said is a couple of years ago in Florida, right before this very significant reform package was signed into law, which was actually drafted in an unusual way in that it went into effect the moment that Governor DeSantis signed it. But there were tens of thousands of lawsuits were filed in the days leading up to that so that they could have been filed under the previous terms of the Florida civil justice system. That has worked. They have begun to work. They've largely worked their way through that, and the system has improved. But, yeah, there can be a tail like that, and it's the potential, as I said, for challenge. And ironically, even though the law in Florida, the package has had great success, there have been efforts to repeal or significantly weaken some of the provisions in the legislature, which I have to say I find somewhat confounding, especially at this time frame. But that's always a possibility in the policy in the public arena.
And I guess we all fall prey to it. I mean, even I'm aware of it, and you sit here as a radio talk show host, and you're looking for the outcomes, right? And you want to see them because you spend a lot of time talking about them, but it's hard to quantify and to pull out what that tail actually is. And then, as you point out, you're upon the next legislative session, and you have all the folks that were anti those remedial measures going back, trying to defeat them and water them down yet again.
Right. That's certainly a possibility. And, I think each jurisdiction is a little bit different in terms of how it plays out and so forth. But, I think nothing is ever sort of fully resolved in this arena, whether it's a positive change. I think we at ATRA always say that, once reforms are enacted, there has to be vigilance in ensuring that it's not weakened or worse or repealed.
So as you look at, I know a lot of this is done at the state level and in the representative state legislative bodies across this country. Are you seeing, you formerly worked in Congress. I think you were the legislative assistant to U.S. Senator John Danforth. What are you seeing coming out of Congress at all relative to these issues?
I think there may be some specific items. One of the issues that we're hoping that the Congress will tackle is what we call litigation funding, third-party litigation funding. If you're as old as I am, and when I went to law school, the idea that an investment firm could take a sort of a formal stake and role in litigation would have been unthinkable. But the reality is that litigation funding has become very much a part of the legal landscape. I think there's some hope that maybe Congress will do something on that front. I think they actually tried to do something from a tax standpoint as part of what is the big, beautiful bill earlier this year, but it was stricken by the parliamentarian. So I think whether it's that or addressing the potential for foreign sovereign wealth funds or sovereign wealth funds investing in litigation, I think there may be some interest there. I'm not going to bet the proverbial mortgage on what Congress may or may not do, however, but I think that's one area where I think it's
hurt. You're a wise man, Charlie Brown.
I know you know
it better than most, having worked up there. I wouldn't bet on it either.
Yeah, my line about that is that it was so long ago that I worked in the U.S. Senate for some great senators, including principally Jack Danforth. It was so long ago, it was back when they used to legislate.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how this has all played out. But when you think about it, when you talk about this third-party financing, if you're good at what you're doing in assessing the judicial climate of whatever jurisdiction these cases fall in, when you think about the amount that you can make on the recovery, it's far greater than the profit rate of most other risky investments, right? It could be a damn good return.
Yeah, well, there's a lot that we don't know because I think with maybe one notable exception, there's not a lot of transparency about that, and that's I think one of the key issues. But I think from our standpoint, sort of beyond the underlying case. When I go back to, as I said, many years ago when I was in law school, the theory was, that you shouldn't have a third party taking an interest in litigation. The real question right. comes down to who drives the litigation if you have an outside investor, and what role does that institution or individual play in the case? You'll hear this notion of, we just put the money in, et cetera. But I think that's it remains to be seen if that's that is the case and or will continue to be the case. But, you know, I think that that's really the sort of the acid test about the role of outside funders in these matters.
Yeah. Well, look, as a lawyer, I always say you go back to human nature, and human nature is you're looking to make the most that you can make any particular investment. I can't imagine people sit on the sidelines and just sit on their hands and say nothing. I've not seen that happen many times in my lifetime either. Tiger Joyce, always a pleasure to speak with you, President of the American Tort Reform Association. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. That's Tiger Joyce, president of the American Tort Reform Association. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Equinar Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.